The world is a rough place in which to live. Even our bodies are rough to live in, aging, illness, and death are written there in the contract, even though I don't like to think about that. And then our relationship with others. People are close to us, well, we're bound to part. And we've been through this many times before, as the Buddha said. The water in the oceans is nothing compared to the tears that we've shed over the many, many lifetimes. Being separated from those who are dear to us, our parents, our children, our siblings. Even our own bodies turn on us as they get old. This is why we need refuge. One, we need a teaching that shows us a way to heal the wounds and to protect ourselves from further wounds. So the refuge is both external and internal. The external refuge, people who've practiced in the past, gain the results, pass those teachings on. The fact that they show us through example, not just through words, inspires us to internalize those teachings. Make them an internal refuge. So as we meditate, part of it is calming the mind. And the other part is gaining insight into exactly where it is we're attached and how those attachments cause suffering. But first we need to calm the mind down. There has to be an ability to gain a sense of well-being right here, in spite of the fact that the body's going to change. We use the body as our object, because as long as we can create a sense of well-being right here, right now, let's take advantage of that. In other words, the body has both its good and its bad side. So find the good side right now. How can you breathe in a way that gives rise to a sense of well-being? The sense that you belong here, at least temporarily. So try short breathing, long breathing, deep, shallow. Experiment with the breath, because the breath is one of the things that shapes our experience, shapes our state of mind. You breathe in an uncomfortable way, and it adds more irritation to the wounds. It rubs salt in the wounds that we already have. So try to make the breath into a soothing medicine, the kind of cream that you put on something. And then you stay with it in the same way that when you put cream on a rash, you don't put it on and then just wipe it off. You put it on and let it stay there. Get the mind to stay right here, right now. And if you can think of other responsibilities you have right now, well, remind yourself there are good reasons for you to stay here. If there's work you have to do, remind yourself you'll do the work a lot better if the mind has had a chance to rest. If there are people you're concerned about, again, if your mind is well rested, you're in a better position to help them. Not only people who are alive, but people who have passed away. If someone has passed away, the only way you can get in touch with them is through what they call the currents of the mind. And so what kind of current is your mind creating? You want to send out a good current. Soothing current, healing current, cooling current. So if those people are able to pick it up, they're picking up something good. So as you sit here, focusing on the breath, getting the mind to calm down, it's not a selfish act. It's something that's a gift to yourself and to the people around you. So that when your mind is healed, you can be healing to others. So allow this sense of well-being to spread through the body. It's good to have a systematic idea of how to do this. You might start at the navel, go up the front of the body, through the head, then down the back, down the shoulders and the arms, down the legs. Or if you want, you can start at the back of the neck, go down the back, the legs first, then do the front of the body, then the head, whichever way seems most congenial. But try to be systematic so you get everything covered. See how the breath energy feels in different parts of the body. You'll find that there are parts of the body that tend to get neglected, so give them a little special attention. As many times we're holding things in different parts of the body, certain emotions. And as they settle in, they can become just a part of this, what seems to be the normal way of the body. But it doesn't have to be normal. You can work through it. Get a greater sense of wholeness of being right here. And allow your mind to stay here. One of the problems in meditation, especially if you've read a lot beforehand, is that once you get the mind to settle down, you think, well, next step is I've got to gain some insight. Well, first, the mind needs to be healed in the present moment. And sometimes that takes a lot of time. So you have to be willing to put in the time. You know, there are those teachings that you have to deal with whatever is unskillful, as if your head were on fire. But sometimes you're not ready to totally uproot something, so you learn how to deal with it just to the extent that you can put it to the side as you're getting the mind ready to deal with it. Otherwise, it's like trying to eat an unripe fruit. You want the good fruit, and you want it fast, but the fruit's not ready. The mind can often take a good long time to heal, and you have to be patient with that. Just provide the circumstances for it to heal. And then when it's ready, good, then it's going to gain some insight. It's good to have in the back of the mind that whatever sufferings come up in the world, they're all normal. There's that chant that we do often. This is, we're subject to aging, subject to illness, subject to death, to separation. In Thai, the phrase is translated as aging is normal, death is normal, illness is normal. These things are part of the world. We've been through them many, many, many times. So we want the mind to be able to take them with a sense of a lack of surprise. Even though death can be sudden, events of separation can be sudden, we need to be prepared. I was talking with a psychotherapist yesterday, and she was talking about a neighbor of hers who had just lost her father. And she said she felt cheated because no one had prepared her for this. We see a lot of this in modern culture, that religion is taught as something sweet and everything is beautiful. And as a result, people don't get prepared for the fact that life is a rough thing to handle. In Thailand, when I first went there, I was struck by how often when you go into your Dharma talks, they talk about aging, illness, and death, over and over again. It's a normal part of the conversation. In our culture, it's not. And as a result, people suffer. And I'm afraid what's happening in Thailand now. Dharma books now have little cartoons of little children. Some of them are dressed up as monks, some of them are dressed up as lay people, as if Buddhism were all something sweet for little kids. When we approach religion that way, we do get cheated. So let's make sure we don't cheat ourselves. We do have to be prepared. Things can happen with suddenness. And you know the story of the woman who lost her child. She went from house to house, doctor to doctor, asking for someone to cure her child. Finally went to the Buddha. He said, if you can find a mustard seed from a house where nobody's died, okay, then you can cure the child. So she went and asked for mustard seeds from different houses. everyone was happy to give her mustard seeds. But when she asked them, has anyone died in this house? And yes, this person died. My uncle died. My child died. My brother died. Grandfather died. It took a while, but she finally realized, okay, that the child was dead. She accepted the fact. And it's strange. You're thinking about the universality of these things. You would think there would be an even greater weight on the mind. But it helps take a lot of the sting away from the particularity of a death that's happened close to hand. Let me see the fact that it's normal. There's less of a sense that we're at fault somehow. We can focus on healing the wounds, developing the wisdom and discernment so that the next time it happens, we won't be so badly wounded. Not from cutting ourselves off and being unfeeling, but simply having more discernment about how we relate to other people, how we allow other people to become part of us. And then when they go, that part of us has been ripped away. We have to be clear on the fact, okay, we have many different selves. And the self of the meditator can be used to heal the self that was involved in that relationship. We have a whole stable of selves inside. The self that we are when we work, the self we are when we're dealing with each different member of the family. The self we are as a neighbor. And the self we are as a meditator. You need to have this as your default mode. And when they can heal all the other ones when they get wounded. The fact that we have so many selves is often a problem, but it's also part of the solution. When one of our identities gets wounded, okay, we have something better to fall back on. So we want to develop this self as a meditator who can step back from things. There is a part of the mind that just watches whatever comes up. It's just there. It's aware, aware, aware. And then on top of that, we build all of our other entanglements. And often we feel irresponsible if we go back to that part of the mind. We feel unfeeling if we go back to that part of the mind. That's just aware. But it's part of the healing. If you can get in touch with that as you get the mind to calm down, just this clear awareness, which is separate from, it knows things, but it's separate from the things it knows. Not separate in the sense of being blocked off, but just separate from the sense of being right next to it, but knowing that there's a boundary. And being able to get in touch with that part of the mind is a really important part of the healing process. So give the mind some time. Time with a breath. And as for your other responsibilities, put them aside right now. The mind needs to be healed. That's the first order of business.